Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. You'll find that on page 91 of the New Testament portion of your Bible. Page 91. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, may your written word be our guide, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. Have any of you had an audience with the Pope? I had an audience with a Pope, not the Roman Catholic Pope, but the Coptic Orthodox Pope, Pope Shenouda. A number of us Protestant ministers were in Cairo. We went to the Cave Church. Has anyone been to the Cave Church? It's in the middle of one of the most poor areas of Cairo. Cairo, a city of 14 to 18 million people, there's a garbage district where people, 30,000 strong, go out to all the rest of Cairo and bring back the garbage. The poorest of the poor, violence and all sorts of problems there. There's a Cave Church that has seating for 20,000 people. And it's full several times a week. It's the Coptic Orthodox Church, and we gathered with 20,000 worshipers, and they were worshipers. They sang praise songs, not Western praise songs, but Coptic praise songs. And then the Pope came and gave an hour and a half theological exposition on John 1:1. So I'm going to try to cut it down to 45 minutes. And afterwards, he met with the Protestant ministers. He said, "I preached on that today because I'm concerned that when you worship Jesus as God incarnate, the Son of God who came down to earth. But," he said, "you need to realize that Jesus has been there forever." And he talked and he gave us another theological lecture on the pre-existence of the Son. As we look at Advent hurtling towards Christmas, we look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which the Pope said are Gospels from below. They tell about what it was when Jesus arrived on this planet. But the bishop says only John talks about Christmas from above, what it must have been for the pre-existent Son of God to come to this planet. I could talk, or you could have a drama. Would you like to see a drama? I see some heads shaking. Chris and Mandy Tozer have been with us for about 18 months, 2 years. They work at Crossroads, this wonderful NGO that's providing need to the poorest of the poor. And they have agreed to perform a drama for us that was written by J.B. Phillips. J.B. Phillips, the Phillips translation, Your God is Too Small, has a play called The Visited Planet to help us understand not what it was like when Jesus arrived on Earth, but what it must have been like before. While they're getting into costume, we'd like to thank the Tozers for their ministry, not just at Crossroads, but also at Union Church. And also note to you that this is Pierre Steinberg's last Sunday. He's not with us because he's teaching Sunday school, but be sure to thank him for his ministry as well. Once upon a time, a junior angel was being shown round the splendors and glories of the universe by a more senior angel. To tell the truth, the junior angel was beginning to be tired and a little bored. She had been shown whirling galaxies and blazing suns, infinite distances in the deathly cold of interstellar space, and to her mind there seemed to be an awful lot to it all. Finally, she was shown the galaxy of which our planetary system is but a small part. As the two of them drew near to the star, which we call our sun, and to its circling planets, the senior angel pointed to a small and rather insignificant sphere turning very slowly on its axis. It looked as dull as a dirty tennis ball to the junior angel, whose mind was filled with the size and glory of all that she had seen.
I want you to watch that one very particularly.
Well, it looks very small to me, and, oh, rather dirty. What's special about that one?
That is the visited planet.
Visited? What do you mean, what? Well, you mean visited by...
Indeed I do. That ball, which may be rather small and insignificant to you, has been visited by our young Prince of Glory.
But how? Do you mean that our great and glorious Prince, with all these wonders and wonderful, glorious creation, and millions more that I haven't yet seen, that he came in person to that fifth-rate little planet? Oh, well, why should he do a thing like that?
Well, it isn't for us to question his whys, except I must point out to you that he isn't impressed by size and numbers as you appear to be. All I know is, and all anyone who's been in heaven long enough knows, is that he went down there to visit them, to become one of them. How else do you suppose he could go and visit them?
Do you mean to tell me that he stooped so low as to become one of these creeping, crawling creatures of that floating ball?
I do. And I would add that I don't think he would like you calling them creeping, crawling creatures in that tone of voice. For, as strange as it may seem to us, He loves them. That's why he went down to visit them, so they could become like him.
Do you mean he could be
doing now, that? I want you to close your eyes for a moment, and we will go back in time.
While the little angel's eyes were closed, and the two of them moved nearer to the spinning ball, it stopped its spinning, spun backwards quite fast for a while, and then slowly resumed its usual rotation.
That one there is the one that's so important. Now, look.
Oh, what am I seeing now?
You are watching this little world as it was some thousands of years ago. Every flash and glow of light is something of the Father's knowledge and wisdom breaking out all over the planet. Not many people can hear his voice, although he speaks quietly all the time.
Why are they so blind and deaf and stupid?
It's not for us to judge them. We who live in splendor have no idea what it is like to live in the dark. We hear the music and the voice that is like the sound of many waters every day of our lives. But they, well, they live with so much darkness, so much noise and distraction upon the earth, that only a few who are quiet and humble will hear his voice. But watch, and in a moment you will see something truly wonderful.
The earth went on turning and circling around the sun, and then quite suddenly, in the upper half of the globe, there appeared a light, tiny, but so bright in its intensity that both the angels hid their eyes.
I think I can guess. That was the visit.
Yes, that was the visit. The light himself went down there and lived amongst us. Amongst them. But wait, and in a moment you'll be able to tell, even with your eyes closed, that the light will go out.
But why? Couldn't he bear their darkness and their stupidity? Did he have to return to here?
No, it wasn't that. They failed to recognize him for who he was. At least only a handful of them did. For the most part, they preferred their darkness to his light. And in the end, they killed him.
The fools! The crazy fools! They don't deserve our Prince of Glory's visit.
No. Neither you nor I, nor any angel, knows why they were so foolish and so wicked. Nor can we say what they deserve or don't deserve. But the fact remains, they killed our Prince of Glory while he was a man among them.
And that, I suppose, was the end. I see, the whole earth has gone black and dark. All right, I won't judge them, but that's all they could expect.
Wait, for we're still far from the end of the story of the visited planet. Watch now, but be ready. You may have to do more than put on sunglasses.
In utter blackness, the earth turned round 3 times. And then there blazed with unbearable radiance a point of light.
What? What now?
Oh, they killed him, all right. But he conquered death, the thing that they most dreaded and feared all of their lives. He conquered and broke, and he rose again. And a few of them saw him, and from then on, they became his utterly devoted slaves.
Thank God for that.
Amen. Now, take off your glasses. The dazzling light has gone. The prince has returned to his home of light.
But watch the earth now.
You will see what is happening. The bright glow is the company of loyal men and women that he left behind to spread his glow and light all over the earth.
As they looked, in place of the dazzling light, there was a bright glow which throbbed and pulsated. And then as the earth turned many times, little points of light spread out. A few flickered and died. But for the most part, the lights burned steadily. And as they continued to watch, in many parts of the globe, there was a glow over many areas.
You see what is happening. Those lights, that's his disciples, shining as lights all over the earth.
Yes, yes, I see. But is this the end? Or will the little lights, will they join up and glow a big light? Will it all become light as it is here?
Oh, we simply do not know. It is in the Father's hands. Sometimes it is agony to watch, and sometimes it is joy unspeakable. The end is not yet. But now I am sure you can see why that little ball is so important.
Yes.
He has visited it. He is working out his plan among it.
Yes, yes, I see. Though I don't understand, I will always remember that this is the visited planet.
Thank you, Mandy and Chris. Whether we talk about the cosmic Christ or the little baby in a manger, as we sang just a few minutes ago, love came down and rescued us. I would like to read John 1, this time from the Message. The Word was first. The Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God and from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. The light life blazed out in darkness, and the darkness couldn't put up with it. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world, and the world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made them to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. We talk about the pre-existence of Christ. We talk about the incarnation of Christ, the greatest miracle of all time, a miracle I can't explain to you. Pastor May will explain to you following the service how God can be fully man and fully God in Jesus Christ.
And sometimes I don't think it's when we listen to sermons, but when we sing together, we get a glimpse of God's glory. Yesterday we had a wedding here from a Cantonese church, and they raised the roof. And I was so impressed how loud and how joyous they were, and I turned to the pastor to commend him, and he said, "Well, don't you think our Lord is worthy to be praised?" This morning, we heard the Messiah at the 9:30 service. At 11 o'clock, we've sung some very familiar and some contemporary songs. I go back to Egypt and think of those Coptic songs. People around the world are glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. Glory, God's presence with us in Christ. One verse from 1 John could be the verse where, more than anywhere else, the whole Christmas story comes together. "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of a Father's only Son." Now that phrase, "lived among us," means tabernacled among us, pitched His tent among us. And it can go back to the tabernacle where we saw God, or the ancient Jewish people saw God in all His glory. But it also can mean what Eugene Peterson translated as God moved into the neighborhood. God became flesh and blood. And those who choose to accept Him will have everlasting life. So Holly and I were in this ghetto in Cairo, and it was just amazing, all these people, but it didn't look as bad as we'd heard it was going to be. And they said it's really because of the cave church. And it turns out that there was a very wealthy Egyptian businessman who, when he was emptying his garbage one day, dropped his $11,000 watch into the garbage. And the garbage was taken. Well, it was his favorite watch, and he was distraught. And one day, somebody knocked on the door and said, "Did you lose something valuable?" He said, "Yes, I lost a priceless watch." And the guy said, "I'm a garbage man, and I found this, and I knew it had to be in this building, so I've been to every flat asking if someone had lost something. Here is your watch back." And this Egyptian businessman said, "Well, do you realize how valuable it is? Why did you choose to bring it back?" He said, "I am a follower of Jesus Christ. It is my duty to be honest and truthful and not to steal." And this businessman, who had succeeded financially far more than he had ever expected, but was empty inside, said, "If you're a follower of this Jesus Christ, I would like to be a follower of this Jesus Christ." So he started reading the Bible. And then he decided that he was going to have a Bible study with some of these garbage workers who were Christians. So this very impressive business person learns from very poor Christian garbage workers. And one day he commits his life to Christ, and he kneels down and he prays on the streets of Cairo, when a piece of paper flies by and hits him in the face. It's a one page of the Bible. And it's Acts chapter 18, verse 9. "One night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent.'" This wealthy Christian businessman became a Coptic Orthodox priest. And with a handful of very poor Coptic garbage collectors, they built the largest church in the Mideast. And the message that that man heard when that garbage man told him about Jesus was the message that we are free to share throughout our world. And for those of you who are being baptized today, we are thrilled that you are taking that step. For those of you who are struggling, who is this Jesus, this Son of God, who came down to rescue me? We've got deacons who are very willing to pray and talk to you following the service. In the beginning was the Word, Logos, the speech of God, the meaning of God, God Himself expressed in human terms. Let's stand for a closing song.